Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen Raul Julia, The World's a Stage, and you don't know the life story of Raul Julia, and for some reason you were not wanting to know what happened in his life, you can only listen to the first half of this episode. We need to check in about these spoiler words.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck it in chicken.
Play a little cornstarch. My werewolf man.
Luigi Mario. Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week we watch everything that John Leguizamo, the phenomenal character actor, has done. Fuck, I've mixed it. I've tried to play with what I was going to say.
Yeah, no, that was good.
And then I just ended up fucking the sentence.
No, it was good. That was the best intro we've had yet.
It was well matched to your spoiler warning, to be
Girl,
fair.
Girl, that was the best intro ever.
Thanks, mate. My name is Mish Wittrup. I'm a comedian from Melbourne. And you might know me from the stellar run I just had at Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And if you made it along, thank you so much. And if you didn't, all right, yeah, no, fair enough. Cozzy lives pretty rough. And I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from.
Not having just done a comedy festival, although I have Lido coming up. I'm doing Walk Hard. And also, you might know me from I'm Gonna Go Watch You in Sydney.
Yeah!
Hey.
Good job. Yeah, if you're in Sydney and you're just chomping at the bit to see what I can present to you live, I'm coming there for the Sydney Comedy Festival at Factory Theatre from the 25th of April to the 28th of April.
This is good. We should get these promos in. Mm. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out and you're in Melbourne, come to my Lido tomorrow night. I'm doing Walk Hard, the most underrated comedy of the last 20 years.
Wow.
Underrated. It's a very specific qualifier I'm giving there. It's not the best. It's the most underrated.
Okay. I feel that way about... There's a rom-com called A Lot Like Love, and it's not the best.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, severely underrated. It's Amanda Peet and Ashton Kutcher, but it's not the best. But I have no idea why it's not up there with the, like, you know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Never Been Kissed kind of rom-coms that came out at that exact time, and it is such a good rom-com. Amazing soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I love underrated. I think underrated is an overused word and it's an underrated word. No, it's an overused word, but it's rarely used correctly. People say things are underrated when they're, because I think really it's very specific, isn't it? It doesn't just mean it's great. It means it's like it's really, it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
And people are often like, they say underrated when, like, I don't know, it's like close to correctly rated.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair.
Like really, really good films that are pretty well loved.
Can I say, I watched something that I believe to be severely overrated.
Hey, I love an overrated.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't bad. It was a series on Netflix called One Day, which is based on a book. No, it's not. It's sort of very loosely based on this book, right? That I read 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was all the rage, all the rage. Did you hear about it, Tom? Okay. Tom's here, by the way.
Tom's here. I didn't see One Day.
Yeah, I didn't think that you would.
I'm drinking, to be fair. I'm drinking, I think, fizzy drink that the footy is promoing.
Yeah.
And they're just getting it. Just if anyone's seeing the visual of this and thinks that I also have some sort of deal with this fizzy, no.
I'd love a deal with a fizzy.
It's just in the office. This is not some sort of network, like, no, there's just, I'm just stealing fizzies from the footy with Brad and
Cole. I would love a deal with a fizzy.
I'm sure we can swing it.
Yeah, let's fucking
That's why we do the videos.
Can
now.
I chime in for 2 seconds?
Yeah, Tom.
I'm going to say is if you want free product from any brand.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Hey!
You want money from any brand?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Really?
They'll send 8 slabs of beer to you, but if you want a cent from them, nah.
If you're a brand manager, I want you to just skip to 20 seconds from now, all right? I don't want you hearing this. So from now, skip. I don't care. I just want free shit.
Exactly. That's what you're going to be at peace with. Having the free shit, shouting them out, and hopefully one day you'll get some money
yeah,
from it.
Yeah, no, I don't give a shit about money. We'll just pretend. Anyway, and that's why I would never accept a deal unless I get that money, you know? Yeah. So,
no, I love free shit.
Mish never skipped. I heard you say it.
I'm a small
fry. Now they're going to take advantage of you.
No, I'm a small fry, though. They can. Like, where my career is at, I'm built to be taken advantage of. Like, I'm a delicious, delicious thing for a brand person.
Right? I love a free thing. Oh, I love a free thing.
If they want to send free snackies, can you imagine us just like we are now, but with bowls of free snackies?
Look at this. We're getting the footies free snackies.
Yeah.
In fairness, every time I come to this studio where your office is, I get free snackies.
You've been eating all our snackies.
I eat all your snackies. To the point where I truly believe that your GM kind of isn't happy about it. At first, she was chill, and then it's been like since I confessed that I stole your snackies, everyone had a laugh, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But I've continued to steal them, and I think at that point the people are like, you've admitted that you stole the snackies. Yeah. Now's the right point to stop stealing the snackies, but I still continue to.
Yeah, we're having to hire a whole person because of you stealing the snackies.
We have to hire a snack.
We have
person.
To hire someone
well,
to go out and buy
that's
snacks.
Perfect. That's perfect. Send us free snackies, and I won't have to steal them anymore.
Yeah, we'll get that person to do the snackies.
Hey.
Hey.
Can we jump straight to
what was the over? Did you say the overrated movie?
Oh yeah, One Day. Oh sorry.
Oh no, you did. You
no,
did.
No, yeah, no. So it's a series on Netflix that was also a movie with Anne Hathaway not too long ago, and I don't remember that. But I like it was all the rage, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect for my brain. Like this very kind of young love, the story of like the trajectory of a relationship. Wasn't that good?
Here's my issue with overrated as a criticism. Not saying you just did that. Like, you were just like, oh, this is interesting that it's overrated, right? But I see a lot. I've just re-downloaded X, formerly Twitter, and I see a lot of, like, people criticize movies that as overrated.
Mm.
And I go, well, that's like just, that's not the movie's fault.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, underrated, I feel like that's going, hey, more people should like this movie. But when people are like, fuck this movie, it's overrated. It's like, well, all right, who are you mad at? Yeah. Why are you mad at the movie because people liked it?
Like, yeah, oh, I could not agree with you more. I'm not mad.
No, this is, yeah, you didn't do it.
No, I'm not mad at One Day. And I can see that, I can so see that there's a target audience for One Day. I am not that target audience. I misread the situation and assumed that it would be suited to me.
No, yeah, I don't think it's that. I think there's just a lot. I'm just sick of people on Twitter. There's a lot of people on Twitter, right, where I'll see a movie, like it, and then everyone will get on board and people will be crazy for it. And then people will be like, their hot take will be that they don't like it because everyone else likes it, and they'll be like, it's overrated.
Which isn't like, a hot take. To not like a film is not a hot take.
Cool,
people
good for
don't
you,
like
bro.
Films every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like shit.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of shit that I don't like. It's not a hot take.
Yeah, man, people love it. People love to be like, you know what? I didn't like it. And it's like, cool, I could care less.
I think we posted a video recently on TikTok, right? From the podcast. No, but it's fascinating. It doesn't faze me at all, right? It really doesn't faze me. It would have maybe 10 years ago, but I've grown. I've changed. I'm an adult and I don't care. But like we posted on Instagram. I was like, this is funny. So I posted it on TikTok and immediately people who don't know us, who have never seen us, who don't know the pod, just immediately started to criticize stuff that the video wasn't about. Like God, Australian podcasts suck. This is no better. And some old bloke was just like, lol, do women in podcast studios really feel the need to look pretty or something like that? Oh my God. And it was just like, oh, calm down. Just like, I don't know. It's like, I understand that like freedom of speech or whatever, but it's like, just if you don't like it, just don't watch it.
Just like
shut up.
The fuck.
Yeah, I didn't go in there with some sort of like super controversial, like racist take that you would then be able to comment on or any take. I don't have a lot of racist takes, to be fair.
Yeah, Mish is always dropping racist.
No, I don't. I don't have any racist takes, I'd say. But anything that even like.
Do we have a TikTok?
No, I do. Oh. So I'm cashing in. What? Don't worry about it.
I actually know. Sorry, I should say I'm acting shocked. I did see you post it. I was going to comment. Tag me at least.
I don't understand how TikTok works. Truthfully, I don't.
But you've figured out how to upload our videos onto your personal TikTok.
And I got so many followers. So thank you very much.
No, but I think it's very funny. I think, like, there's this great bit in Beyonce's new album, which I'm obsessed with at the moment. You gotta listen to it, and you gotta listen to it the whole way through. It's an hour 20, though. It's a very long album. But I listened to it on a bus trip, on a coach trip from Phillip Island. And there's this, like, it's too much to talk to. But, like, there's this one bit in it where they get, like, these fake, it's like a fake radio station. You know that sort of hip-hop tradition of having, like, little talking bits in an album? And they do these, like, fake radio station things and, like, they'll get older artists. So basically Willie Nelson has, like, two moments in it where he's, like, the host of a radio show. And in his first one, it's the best. He just goes, give this a go. And if you don't like it, go find the jukebox. And it's just the best bit where it's just like the other way of saying, like, if you're not a fan of this, I could like shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I couldn't agree
like,
more.
I get it. You know, sometimes you want to have a conversation, but there's just so many people that are just like, cool opinion, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about that, like, you think that that's a really hot take. You don't like Taylor Swift. Okay.
Cool. Sick, man. Like, all right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, like, and it's never like, what, and they never really go into why. There's never like a, here's the thing about, you know, like, I'm interested in a, you know, tell me about your thoughts on Taylor Swift. Tell me why she doesn't work for you. But, like, it's never that. It's just like, has anyone noticed that Taylor Swift's actually kind of mid? It's like, all right.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes. Yeah, I guess.
It's so stupid. Everyone is their own protagonist in their own fucking story and thinks that what they
And as
to
someone
say
who is a needs- protagonist, fuck you. Yeah. You're not. Here's a couple of protagonists here telling you could go fuck yourself.
Too right.
Nah, just joking.
Hey, I really want to do our new segment.
What's our new segment?
What's something cool we watched this week or some else shit like that?
Okay, so now it's time for what's something cool you watched this week or some else shit like that?
Cool. Which apparently we've totally ripped off from other platforms, but whatever. I don't
care. The comments seem to be vicious. I'm glad I didn't fold in.
Honestly, comments on TikTok are horrific.
Yeah.
But I have something I would like to discuss that I watched that was cool this week. And it's actually in keeping with what we watched this week.
Oh, wow. Double.
I'm
going to pull up Letterboxd to see what I watched this week.
I need to keep a Letterboxd because I'm just going off my memes.
This is why it's good. Because right now I'm shooting blanks. Okay. In my mind.
You looked me directly in the eye and talked about doing a cum.
No, in my mind.
So, we watched a documentary on Raoul Julia. Spoiler warning. Surprise.
Spoiler warning.
And I was so inspired to watch some of his other stuff. But I'm mid-comedy festival right now, so my brain is mushy and I couldn't take some of his real, real, like, serious stuff. So, I rewatched Adam's Family, the sequel, Adam's Family Values.
Ah.
And fuck me, that really, really stands up.
I really, really wanted to watch Adam's Family this week.
Well, I watched Adam's Family, I believe, like a few years ago, like probably during a lockdown. And I had not watched the sequel since I was a kid. And Zach, it is, and Tom, whatever. Hey, man.
You go watch your football.
Yeah, enjoy your footy. It is, I would be willing to say, one of my favourite sequels.
Great.
Yeah, it is so good. The cast is stacked and it is so funny.
I talk about it in my intro that's coming up about this Raul Julia thing. Mm. And I say it, and that was going to spark conversation, but we'll talk about it now. I think that those two movies are the most perfectly cast movies ever. Like, yes. With the people that were working at the time,
oh,
it's perfect.
Perfect. It is perfect. Like, they have not put a foot wrong.
Like, it's...
Who would have... Like, putting Raul Julia, Angelica Houston, and Christopher Lloyd...
Mm.
Are you okay?
And then Chris, like, finding a young Christina Ricci.
Yeah. It's absolutely, it slaps. And the sequel has, I'm going to say it on record, my favourite Joan Cusack performance.
Wow.
And that's big.
I love a Joan Cusack.
Love a Joan Cusack
I feel
moment.
Like I could get, I'm not an impersonations guy. I reckon I could get a Joan Cusack impersonation pretty quickly.
Off you go.
No, I don't. I think I'd need to listen.
For a second there, my first thought was that you meant you could hire a Joan Cusack impersonator pretty quickly. No, that would be challenging. I think, knowing who I know, I could hire a Joan Cusack impersonator pretty quickly.
I'll come to your party. I'll do 2 hours of Joan. I'll walk around. Where's my brother John?
No, but her as Debbie in Adam's Family Values, I think, is just like, firstly, a dream role.
Yeah.
Like the actual.
I don't remember the movie well enough. This is why I wanted to rewatch it. I know the core cast. I know the bits and pieces. I didn't remember.
Do you know what could
it.
Be cute?
What?
Is that each week I say what I loved watching and you say what you loved watching. And we have to watch them as well as something else.
Oh yeah. Then I'll make it like the most fuck shit I can.
No. Yeah. I don't want to watch the shit one.
I'll watch good stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes. But that is 100%. That is. Adam's Family Values is 100% the cool thing I watched this week or some other shit like that.
Well, now that you've said that I watch shit stuff, I'm going to find the shittest thing I can.
No, don't. Say the cool. The whole purpose is poipus.
So look, it wasn't this week, but I recently rewatched Le Jeté, a 20-minute film, a French film from the 60s told entirely with still photographs. And it's sci-fi and it's got time travel and you have to watch it now. All right, next up.
Did you say it was 20 minutes?
Yeah, but it's all still photographs and Fine. It's just like a French guy like, oh no, my review.
I don't know, Zach, but I quite liked it when you did that.
My review on Letterboxd is probably the coolest movie. It's very cool. It's just like, actually, you probably might like it. It's all just still black and white still photographs, and people just like, I have to go to the future now.
All right.
But no, I won't do that. Do you know what I'll do? Yeah, for a fucked one. The one I really
Wait, are we actually doing this challenge? I think it's we don't have time.
No time at all.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what I watched. I watched Mysterious Skin.
Where?
I may have paid for it.
Yeah, because I couldn't find it for free. I tried to find it very recently.
I'll let you know.
Had you seen it before?
No.
Mate. Oh. I watched that.
Great soundtrack, Tom. Incredible. So good. Soundtrack. I think the guy from Deepak Mode, maybe, or like, no, Cocktail Twins.
Cockatoo
Twins.
The Cockatoo Boys.
The Cockatoo Twins.
I watched it for the first time in high school, and then I probably watched it again like right after high school, and it was at the time that I watched it, the most disturbing movie I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I'm not, like, I probably do trigger warning a bit, but I'm not one to, like, throw trigger warnings around like crazy.
Mm.
Listening to this, if you've got any kind of triggers of person, like childhood trauma, do not watch this
film.
Yeah,
don't watch it.
But if you're, it is so disturbing.
Mm.
It is, and I
blocked out a lot of it because I remember in high school, it was by far one of those things that I couldn't stop thinking about when I was like 15 or 16 when I watched it. And I think I genuinely, my brain just went, you can't handle that right now.
Watching it, blocked out
a lot of it.
Watching it, I think I was like, because watching it now, I wish I'd watched it when I was 15 or 16, because I think I would have had a very different like reaction to it. But watching it now, I was like, at first I was like, oh, this is a lot more explicit than maybe we need to be in this day and age. And then the more I think about it, I'm like, no, fuck it. Say it. Just say it. Sometimes you just got to say the things. And but it is so explicit. And it's so, but it's also just really beautiful. And like, I'm shocked I hadn't seen it because it's a beautifully made film. But it is fucked.
Fucked up.
But what I love is as you're watching it,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is shocking and it's fucked up and it's awful, but it's also just really beautifully told and really sensitively told. It's a great film. Like,
that's great.
Yeah, I loved it. It's one of those ones. I love when you watch a film and you're like, oh, great. This is like properly one for the, this isn't just a good one.
But it's really hard to find. Like, it's really hard to find. But it's hard to find for me. And apparently, I don't know how to Google properly. So, granted, I can't find anything unless it's on Netflix or Stan.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think it was just a purchase. I think I just like bought it on Amazon or something.
Yeah.
You can just search where to watch.
What was the movie that I messaged you earlier this week and said, you have to watch this. This is a good one for Lido.
Earlier this week.
Yeah, it was earlier this week. I'm sorry.
You're in the middle of a comedy festival run though, so I don't think I'll be able to find it.
Why?
Because there's a lot of like,
Zach, my show is shit tonight. Zach, I don't know if I should retire or not. I don't think I'm very good at this.
No, you're very funny.
Jesus.
No, I'm joking. This is what it's like. This is what I would do back to you if I was doing shows at the moment. You sent me Nick Cave.
Did I send you a Nick Cave song?
Tell me to listen to Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah. You like Nick Cave, Tom, right?
Sure. I have listened to Nick Cave before.
I listen to Nick Cave quite often, but his Let Love In album, there's a song called Nobody's Baby Now, and I think it's one of the most beautiful songs. It's really lovely. I think you've probably gone back too far.
Was it recent? What was it? What do you remember what it was?
I have no idea.
Had you just watched it when you sent it?
I feel like maybe I had. No, everything I send you is because I can't access it. And I need you to put them on so that I can watch them, like Serial Mum.
Usually if you can't access it, they can't access it. That's the general vibe.
So annoying. No, but Lido put on Serial Mum, or the Ritz did in Sydney. One of them did.
One of them. I cannot find
it. Oh, it's fine.
I can't find it.
What a awful 5 minutes of this podcast.
Vibes?
Vibes! Yes! I haven't watched it, but yes, that's the movie.
I have no recollection. Can I just tell you? I have no recollection of you sending this
message. What's the message say?
You said, oh my God, oh my God. I said, what? This was at 12:25 a.m.
Yeah. Right. So I've just got, I'm an hour and 25 minutes off stage, so I'm buzzed.
Yeah, and I'm probably like nearly ready for bed.
Yeah.
But at 12:25 a.m. you said, oh my God, oh my God. I said, what? You said, Vibes, 1988 movie starring Cyndi Lauper and Jeff Goldblum. You have to watch it. And then me, with no memory of you sending it, said, okay, I will. And then my next message was, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to sleep right now. I'm so, so sorry. And then you said, I forgive you.
So you wrote that to just shut me up.
No, I think from memory, I remember telling, I don't remember saying, I'll watch it. I just remember being like, about to fall asleep. I think I was, because I charge my phone outside of my bedroom now. That's like a thing I'm doing.
So when it goes off, you have to get up.
So I charge it outside of my bedroom so that I'm not looking at screens before I go to bed. I've read two books already in the last like month and a bit.
Damn.
Which is good. I have not read a book in 5 years, and then I've just read 2 books. Turns out it's just the phone thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, so I'm charging my phone outside. So, like, I think I was nearly asleep and the phone went off outside of the room and I was like, oh, I should check just in case it's an emergency. Mm. And then, yeah, it was you telling me to watch a Cyndi Lauper movie.
when we
no shade. Text me whatever you want. But
I do. I do. When we get back from the ad break,
yep,
I will tell you what I know of Vibes.
Okay.
Welcome back. I don't know a lot about the movie Vibes.
There's a lot of people that hung out through that ad break going like, oh, I hope she knows a lot about Vibes.
Basically, it's about two psychics that travel the world solving crimes or some
shit.
Cyndi
Lauper's in it.
Cyndi Lauper and Jeff Goldblum.
Have you seen it?
Yes. My mum had it on VHS when I was a kid. Amazing. My mum loves Cyndi Lauper, but I don't, and it's got the worst reviews ever, but it's one of those, like, you should do it for.
But I don't screen anything unless I've watched it first.
That's what I mean. Go watch it.
But
I nearly watched Roadhouse the other night.
Roadhouse? Mm. Which one, the new one or the old one?
The old one. I don't want to watch the new one.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about the new
Not
one.
After what he did to Taylor Swift.
Do you think it's unavailable or are you just saying I should put it on? Oh, great poster.
Yeah, it's so, like, yeah, it's real 80s. It's my mum loved it, but it's got awful reviews and it's said to be one of the worst movies ever made. But, like, how can it be bad when it's Cyndi Lauper and Jeff Goldblum? You know what I mean? How can that be bad?
I went through a Jeff Goldblum phase.
Do you know, I have a theory, and it's that if anyone says they don't like Jeff Goldblum or Diane Keaton, they're just trying.
They're just being contrary.
They're just being 100%. No one hates Jeff Goldblum or Diane Keaton. And if you do, fuck off.
Do you know, I watched... we'll talk about it. This is all part of the movie. Maybe I'll just say... No, this was a different thing. He was in it in the documentary. Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it. Well, maybe we'll talk about the documentary.
Yeah, let's do the...
All right, I'll do the little blurb. It's not a funny blurb. Sorry. I know we're trying to be funny, but, you know, it's a really, like, normal documentary. All right. Sorry, everyone. Sorry if you're expecting a funny blurb. Couldn't really think of anything funny.
No, it's all right, mate. You don't have to. The idea of these, like if this ends up being put to tape, to video.
Yeah.
The idea is that they get an understanding of what this podcast is about. And, hey, sometimes we're not that funny.
Yeah.
When we think we're being funny, we're really not that funny.
Ever since you stole that content that Tom edited and uploaded it to your personal account.
He sent it to us to put up. Did I do the wrong thing? Hold on. What did I do?
No, you did nothing. I didn't expect you to upload it. That's what my reaction was from.
Oh, my God, I didn't know.
No, it's great. It's done great numbers and it's good. I was just like,
Because you didn't want to, like, you were under no obligation to upload that.
Oh, I just assumed you were like, here's a video to put up. And I was like, oh, I'll put it up.
Yeah, well, I could have been more clear in my intention just to,
Take it down. I got the
point. No, I like it. I actually think you look good in it. So do all the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
There was a couple of comments. It was very funny because the whole video was you being like not knowing that we were doing videos and feeling like you didn't look good and you look fine and then all the comments were like, babe, you look hot. And there were a couple that were like, you look hot.
It was for sure. For sure.
Which is so ridiculous.
Mish, you look really hot. I was like, okay.
I love being a woman.
It's pretty fucked up. It's pretty fucked up what yous go through. sorry, I shouldn't. All right, here we go. This week we watched Raul Julia, Julia. I've been saying Julia, which is, Raul I Julia. Think, racist. Oh, no.
If you're going to be racist, you might as well just say it proper.
So, I'm the raciest boy in town. Oh, that's Zach. He's racy. All right. This week we watch Raul Julia, The World's a Stage, an episode of the long-running PBS series American Masters. This feature-length documentary tells about the life of Puerto Rican actor Raul Julia. Sorry, it's not funny, guys.
It's okay.
Probably best known to most of our audience for playing Gomez Adams in the, may I say, perfectly cast 1990s Adams Family films. This movie tells the story of his entire life, from going to a nice school in Puerto Rico to his theatre career and to his later success in film, as well as his charitable work. John Leguizamo is a talking head in this interview. John Leguizamo is a talking head in this documentary. He recites a little bit of Shakespeare and then says a bit about how inspiring Raul Julia is. And then another guy mentions him alongside some other actors as continuing Raul Julia's legacy.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
I thought that was lovely.
I have a thing I want to say about Raul Julia.
I would love you to.
So I did a screening a few years ago of the one he was in towards the very end of his life, the Street Fighter film with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Have you seen Street Fighter?
I haven't.
Right? So I had only seen it once, and I always thought it was a bad movie. But then I put it on, and on rewatching it, I discovered two things. One, he is by far the best thing in that film.
Yeah.
He is fucking spectacular in that film.
Yeah.
And two, the movie, when played in front of an audience, is much more knowingly funny than it gets credit for. It's actually a better movie than people think. People remember it as like a bad movie.
Well, I remember, from what I've heard of it, I've not seen it, it's one of the best adaptions from video game to film.
It is what it is. It's no, it's considered a bad movie.
Okay.
It's considered a whatever movie, but it's very fun, and he's amazing. He's one of the best villains ever. There's a bit in it, and I'm going to completely blow it, but there's a bit in the movie where this woman has, like, spent her entire life seeking revenge on him. He's, like, this evil general that, like, they're going to street fight her. And this woman has spent her entire life trying to seek a revenge on him in the entire movie, and she finally confronts him, and she was like, you killed everyone. Your orders killed everyone in my village, and everyone in my family died because of you. And he was like, here's the thing. I don't remember. To you, it was the worst event of your life. To me, it was a Tuesday. It's the best, like, villain line.
That's very good.
And I fucked it, but it's just that line.
No, I love that.
Where he's like, I don't even remember your village. And it's, like, so badass, and he plays it so well. And after that screening, and it played so well to the audience, his performance, after that I had a real, like, fuck, like, actually, who is this guy? Like, to our generation, I really just know him as Gomez Adams and then this. And I was like, who is this guy? And he doesn't have a super extensive filmography. So to see his life story and to see that actually he did have a very rich career, but it was just mostly on stage.
Stage, yeah.
Was really cool. And it actually closed off a little moment I had a few years back where I was like, fuck, this guy's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
No, I hear what you're saying. I only knew him from, I knew he was in Kiss of the Spider Woman, which I really want to see. And
yeah,
I've
not seen it, yeah.
Which is arguably the most famous of the films he'd done other than Adam's Family.
Yes, yeah.
And I really want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Like, based on, after watching this documentary, I was just like, oh, I've got to watch that.
Do that, and also do, I think you'll love him in, you will love him in Street Fighter.
Oh, 100%, I think I would. I don't know if it was just the way that this documentary was made or whatever, but I want to have, like, a real Raul Julia kick now because I think he's great.
Oh, man, he seems like a hoot.
Like a hoot. And I had watched his live taping of Taming of the Shrew with Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Back when I was a little theatre kid, when I was, like, 19, 20, 21.
Like in the drama school days.
Pre-drama school, but that, right, that gooch between high school and drama school.
The high school university gooch.
Gooch, yeah.
Most people call that a couple of gap years, but
yeah,
it the gooch.
The gooch. I watched a lot of, I was a real theatre kid then.
Yeah,
like, theatre was the love. And I watched, and I remember being like, that's Gomez Adams.
Yeah.
And thinking he was phenomenal. But based on this documentary, he just looks like he's made some fucking really cool roles come to life. And I think has clearly had a huge impact on Latin artists, Because, and the coolest, like I never considered, I never thought about it. He broke into the industry in the early 70s, I believe, into film.
Yeah, late 60s, maybe, yeah. 70s.
And unlike other actors, Latin actors that were, you know, working at the time, he came in and was like, I'm not changing my accent. That was the big, so he was like, I've got a Puerto Rican accent, and if you would like to hire me, this is my accent. This is the accent I will be doing for these films.
And he didn't change his name as well.
And he didn't change his name. And so many actors at the time and previously that were, you know, Latin had changed their names to like John Smith and whatever to kind of fit the Hollywood
mold. Wasn't that Rita Hayworth?
Rita Hayworth did it. Casino, her name was something Casino.
Yeah, but that's, there you go. Yeah. That happened a lot and he refused to change his name.
Yeah.
And he's very cool. And, like, when you look at his work, like, he had, I think, I guess because he did theatre as well, like, he wasn't trapped in the, for the time he was around to not be, like, trapped in stereotypes.
He was Fellini. I didn't know that.
In Nine. Yeah.
Guido. That was him. Can I say that?
Can you say Guido?
It's a song.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. I don't give a shit. No one's listening.
But no, I thought it was just a really, really interesting documentary.
It was cool. Yeah, there was one of those ones where, you know, would I have ever watched episode 10, season 33 of American Masters from PBS without doing this podcast? Maybe. Probably not. But it was one of those ones where it was like, oh, this is nice. I've learned something. Yeah. I've learned something about Broadway. I've learned something about Puerto Rico. He's a really cool guy. He's a really, really,
really
cool guy.
Really cool guy. But I also feel like, and in watching this documentary, it kind of made me realize it. There's a big gap in my knowledge of film, and it's the 70s to early 80s. I know a lot of stuff pre-60s, particularly about musicals and kind of fluffy stuff. Yeah. And I know, and I've watched a lot of late 80s, 90s, 2000s cinema. I don't know a lot of movies from the 70s and early 80s. Not really. Like,
no.
I've got Rocky Horror Picture Show and Full Metal Jacket. And other than that, you know what I mean? Like, there isn't like a hell of a lot. And that's where a lot of his career was.
And it's the kind of the 70s, 80s. Is that what you're saying? 70s, 80s? Mm. It's a good era of cinema.
Yeah.
It's a really good era of cinema.
I think it's something. I remember watching Raging Bull a while ago now, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan of it because I thought it was really slow. Because a lot of movies back then are 2.5 to 3 hours long.
Yeah.
A lot of 2.5 hour films.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, this is so slow. But I think I was just an impatient little 25-year-old that just I just wanted to date boys and get drunk.
I think a lot of those movies, oftentimes if I haven't seen a movie from that time, I'll try and watch it at like at a cinema when they like the Astor, you know, but like a Picture Palace, like Repertory House is what they call them, and a lot of cinemas now are doing like old movies in their lineups, and I often try to see movies of that kind of era and time and ilk at the cinema because that kind of pacing, I think, is designed for
cinema. Yeah,
you know, it was pre-video, it was pre-VHS. Mm-hmm. It was really the only situation where you were going to watch that film is sitting in a cinema. And I think I've found it with a few films. I remember I watched Dirty Harry at the movies once, and like the longer takes and the fact that they don't, because they are very slow, but it's a lot of like wide shots, but there is actually a lot happening in the visual. And when you're actually in a cinema, the little person running across the screen or things happening, like it's more visually dynamic. But when you watch it on TV, that's such a tiny little person that it's less. It very much is edited for the cinema, I think.
No, absolutely. But even now, like looking up famous 70s movies, like I've seen Willy Wonka and I've seen Grease. I've seen Halloween, but there's a bunch I haven't, like Enter the Dragon.
Oh, that's great.
Last House on the Left, The Jerk.
Oh, is The Jerk 70s?
Yeah.
Huh. No, there's great. Well, you've got there, you had the sort of Hollywood.
Apocalypse Now, never seen that.
Yeah. Oh, that's worth saying. That's a movie one though. That's long. But I think that, because it's funny that you say that because my gap is your knowledge, like I kind of have watched a few silent films, not a lot. And then I haven't in a while, but I did get through a lot of the 70s and 80s films when I was a teenager. My gap is more the 40s, 50s, 60s. The stuff you know really well, yeah. I don't know as well. And it's what's really interesting is that...
That would have been a really interesting premise for a podcast, if only. Like, do you know what
you
I mean?
You share
like,
a musical, I share it. But no, I think what's really cool about it is you really see what's happening now, actually, in Hollywood. I don't know, is this too nerdy for this podcast?
No.
Should we be funnier? But what's happening right now in Hollywood is... We, you know, and it is a little bit different because the economics of it are more driven by like Wall Street and stuff. But we saw in Hollywood this sort of drive over the last 20 years to all be about franchises, all be about superhero movies. Like every studio was cutting the mid-budget films and just trying to make franchises.
Yeah.
And they still are. But people are now getting sick of them. Like people are like normal movie people are like, I don't want to watch a superhero movie. I'm sick of superhero movies. They're sort of starting to articulate this desire for like, I want to see something different.
Mm.
And Hollywood's going to struggle with that for a little bit. But then you're seeing out of that the emergence of the A24s and, you know, the Neons and that these sort of interesting directors and ultra low budget films as a response to these massive big budget things. Exactly the same thing happened in the 70s. The movie musical, these massive, huge, too big to fail. Let's spend millions of dollars on a musical. It's going to go for 3 hours. Everyone's going to love it.
When was this?
In the 60s, the stuff you kind of grew up watching. Was going really well, but it just got a bit too formulaic by the end of the 60s.
Yes.
It just got a bit too, you know, we can chuck them in, it'll happen. People got sick of it. And then out of that, you had Francis Ford Coppola, you had George Lucas, you had Spielberg, but like more interesting filmmakers like Cassavetes. Like you had these...
Your big drama stuff.
You had these interesting filmmakers that wanted to make art house films but kind of emerged through Hollywood kind of saying... Because people got sick of that, they started doing really kind of interesting stuff. So it's a cool – it was the time of the auteur. So there's a lot of really cool stuff came out of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So I think you're gonna have a great time.
I think so too. I would like genuinely to hear what people's favourite movies are from that period because I don't – looking back, I've watched a lot of horror. But, I mean, horror I've watched a lot of horror. So, like, I've watched the 70s and 80s horror stuff. But anything kind of like – the dramas, the action films, I haven't really seen them. So I would love to hear from people about what their favourites are.
Yeah, great.
That'd be cool.
Maybe I'll do that as well. That's a fun little thing to do.
Little side prog?
Little just stuff to watch.
Yeah, but I mean like, I meant a side prog for your personal at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
when you're sitting at home, you know, eating
spaghetti.
Eating sketty.
What am I going to watch? Yeah.
I'd like to comment on something else on Raul Julia.
Yeah, please. That's why we're here.
Yeah, great. I want to snaps for Raul Julia has this amazing ability that I don't think a lot of people do have.
What the fuck are we doing?
What do you mean?
This podcast. We're talking about some documentary on telly from 10 years ago.
I think it's interesting.
It is. I'm having a great time, but it's funny.
Why did I feel like you were about to quit then? And
please don't. There are times where I go... And it's funny because I enjoyed this documentary and I'm enjoying talking about it. But there are times where I go, what a funny thing we've decided to
do. It's funny the amount like that we've put into this podcast with how very little we put in the deciding to do this podcast. Do you know what I mean? Like we decided to do the podcast, fully committed. Very quickly.
Yeah.
But then the process of making it now doing 3 years of it has been so long and like, you know.
The only thing that there's been a lot of podcasts like this, the only thing that defines you and me and the only real credit I'll give us is we're the only people that wouldn't stop doing this after a month.
Hunch.
That
in itself has got to be worth at least a couple of free snackies. At least a free fizzy here and there, free bag of chips. Come on, man.
The amount of conversations I've had in the last like 6 months with people that are just that are aware of that are just like, are you gonna watch all? Are you gonna finish it? I'm just like, There's no like grand plan.
Like if we were going to stop, about a year and a half ago was about right when we could have.
Yeah.
But we're not stopping now. Like, we're so close.
Yeah, we're so close, I think.
I don't know.
Anyway, go on.
Raul Julia can do what a lot of people... Well, no, I'm sure there's actually quite a few people who do it, but I can't do it, and it's really hard, is you can act and sing at the same time.
Mm.
It's really difficult. He was singing The Impossible Dream to dream the impossible dream, and it was just the most moving thing I've ever seen. And I was just like, it's very, very cool to be able to sing on stage in front of people while also acting. It's not easy.
He seemed like the kind of guy...
Acting well.
You'd know him, Tom. Just the people that are, like, cool for a beer... He seemed like he was really fun.
Yeah.
He just seemed fun. And he's, you know, do you know what I really would say? Is when you go to university with people studying music theatre, people singing at parties loses its appeal pretty profoundly.
Within weeks.
Within weeks. It's just like, shut the fuck up. Mm.
Stop harmonising happy birthday, you fucking.
Like, what the fuck is you that? Doing? Yeah. You know, like crazy shit, you know, which is a shame because. But anyway, this is a guy that if he was at a party and he was like, shh, I'm going to sing a song, that I'd be like, fuck yeah. He had that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, let's break out the cigars, let's turn off the music, and I'm going to sing you, like, this Spanish opera song.
Oh.
I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, what a cool dude.
You know? And that's a rare person because it's rare that that vibe is met with the talent that it works.
Yeah.
Because usually it's people that do magic or play the bongos.
Yeah, that's
the ukulele.
True. I'm trying to think if I know anyone. Like if Tom walked into a party and
Tom Armstrong
sitting right here,
yeah,
walked into a party and turned the lights down and went, hey guys, I'm gonna play you a song, I'd listen.
Yeah, maybe we need to bring that back.
Maybe you'd listen because I'd never fucking do that. Yeah. So it'd be like, oh, this is gonna be good.
Yeah.
No, I would listen because I would think that it would be the last time you'll see you're dying or something. So you'd like come into the space to be like, this is my final moments. Yes. And so I'd be like, well, I have to listen because dude's dead. Like,
why are you doing this, yeah, Tom? What are you doing?
That's why I would, 100%, that's why I would listen if Tom did that.
If I just said, if I just was like, disarm you, like I got a guitar, cut you like you want me to,
I would
cut that little child.
If you did that at a party, I would immediately leave the room and bitch about you.
Would you?
No, I would leave the room and pretend I would just pretend I was not involved. I don't.
What if I was?
I would pretend that we don't hang out socially.
If I learnt the guitar and I just, but what in what situation? Would you welcome someone singing at a party now? Has it been ruined for us? Because that's a shame, isn't it? Because there was a time where that's what parties were all about.
The guy who picks up a guitar at a party, I can't, like, that guy's a fuckhead.
Isn't it? But it's a shame because, like, I don't know. I just, maybe I want that back in my life. Just let's pick up a guitar.
I think the only time it's acceptable is if it's an outdoor party and it's not a huge group of people.
Yeah.
I was going to say small gathering.
Around campfire, a fire moment. Yeah.
Then it is great to just sing under the bridge with all your mates.
Yeah, that's but true.
You know,
that'd
you know
be
what
quite
it
nice,
is.
Actually.
Do you know what it is? It's because a lot of people in our lives for a long time are the sort of people that, A, want to be the best at it and want you to know that they're the best at it, even in that situation.
Yeah. Mm.
And B, if you fuck it up, like there's not like we're not having a fun time. It's not like they've lost sight. This is no way, but like they've lost sight of the fact that the point of singing in that situation is bonding.
Mm.
But if you fuck up the harmony, they're going to like, there were just a lot of people in our lives when we went to uni that were like, you fuck the harmony.
Yeah.
It's like, who gives a shit? We're all just singing a song.
Yeah.
But they really, yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, there was a lot of like, everyone would come in and then afterwards they'd be like, oh God, I hate it when Sarah comes in. She's so... Like, she just tries to make it something it's not. It's just like, this isn't your time, Sarah, or some shit. Like, it's so much bitchiness around that kind of stuff.
I
want to
get it back. I want to just, like, break it
up. Bring it back,
guitar.
Ben Zach. I dare you.
Let's have a jam.
Why are you and I don't go to parties.
Yeah, but let's get back. But that's it. Let's not go to parties. Let's
you want me to come
party.
Over and watch you play
you,
guitar?
No, Tom brings a guitar. You and me sing. Like, you know, we're just going, na-na-na.
But I really don't
we'll
want to do that.
Like,
I think as long as it's not performative and we all get to choose songs, it's a bit like karaoke. Karaoke can be fun with friends.
Yeah. Karaoke with friends.
Tom plays a guitar and I just break out a bit of, nobody said it was easy.
No one ever said it would be so hard.
I would
say, turn back to start.
Because I know how much you want to do this, I would sit with you while you did that, but I need you to know now, before it happens, I'm doing it for you, and I'm not getting anything from it.
What if I did Hallelujah for you?
Yeah, just a bit I'd feel the same way.
And I'd really get into it.
I'd feel the same way.
Like I would, at the end bit, you know, the end bit where they can kind of riff a little bit, I would make that go for 5 minutes. It's just you, me, and Tom. Tom's playing guitar, and I'm just like, Hallelujah. And then I do that bit and it goes.
That's when I start to harmonize.
Yeah, you sing along. Is that how you're going to sing along?
Yeah.
That was me being the people.
Yeah, I know, I got that. Anyway, do you have any final thoughts on the Raul Julia doco?
He seemed like a really cool guy. I think I don't look anything like him, but I think my eyes are a bit like his eyes. And I think, like, you know, I'm not saying that that's the same. I'm not saying that what he did for Latin performers, he also did for me as someone with googly eyes. I'm not saying that I needed that because I don't need that. I'm aware of my privilege. But he really, him and Tim Curry.
That was my final thought.
I'm just going to say him and Tim Curry are like probably, I always point to my acting idols and I point to like the people that I'll never be as good as. Like if I were to go down acting, if I were to do the acting thing, I always point to like Robin Williams and Steve Carell. But it's like, A, I'm never getting those parts and B, I don't know if I'd be good enough if I did. My actual acting idols are Tim Curry and Raul Julia. Those are the parts I love want.
That. I am Tim Curry, as we all know on this podcast. Tim Curry was one of my like sexual awakening people.
Mm.
And Raul Julia, I saw him and it was just like I was like young again. And I was like, yeah. He's a babe.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and it's fun. It's so interesting you said that because as soon as like I finished the documentary, I wrote down watch Kiss for Spider-Woman and watch Adam's Family. And I looked up Tim Curry movies because I'm like, I also want to fucking deep dive back into Tim Curry. I've watched a lot of Tim Curry films, to be fair. But, yeah, I had a similar reaction to Raul Julia in terms of like, oh, Tim Curry.
Did I ever tell you, if I've talked about this, Tom, you've listened to a lot of podcasts, Mish, have I ever talked about David Bowie and my mum? All right, so David Bowie, this is just a similar kind of thing. We're talking about it, talking about like not just physical looks, but like just charisma, right? I never understood why people thought David Bowie was attractive. I was always like, David Bowie and Mick Jagger, when I was a kid, I'd be like, those guys are funny looking. They're not like traditionally attractive, like who was attractive when we were kids? I don't know.
Oh, God.
Like
Justin Timberlake.
Joey Tribbiani.
You know, Ted Danson.
I remember going, you know, this is no Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, good, there we are.
I remember saying to my mum, like, you know, like, isn't it crazy that people used to think these skinny British guys with bad teeth were attractive because they're not attractive. You look at them, they're not attractive. Mm. And my mum was like, oh, I thought he was very attractive, David Bowie. And I was like, I don't get it. I do not get it. Now, maybe it was the fact that I was 13 when I watched the film, but I remember watching Labyrinth.
And you got it.
And I was just like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. And it's because it's the
same with Mick Jagger. You see, I remember seeing photos of Mick Jagger and being like, what are people talking about? Like, what do you mean? And then when I got older and I started like listening a bit more to the Stones or whatever and watching music videos and stuff, there's him singing You Can't Always Get What You Want, the music video for that. And I was just like, oh, no, I... Yeah.
The thing, did you see
Dick Me Down?
Like, Dick Me Down. Dick Me Down. Sir.
Dick Me Down there.
I've never Dick heard Jagger? Dick Me Down as a phrase. We will get to this review, but have you seen, you saw the new Elvis. We've talked about Elvis at length on this pod. It's the thing I'll really, really give the film. You know, pros and cons, I don't know where it's going to fall, but one thing I'll really give it is they, I think, got across what he was doing that drove girls wild.
Yeah.
I will give the film that. You watch that footage and you see him like wobbling his legs around. It's like, oh, this guy's sexy. This guy's got it. But why was he so controversial? Why was he like driving those girls wild? Mm. And the way they shoot it, they really go like, oh, this is what he was doing with his silk pants and his wobbling that like we can't see as a modern audience, but that's what they were seeing. I thought they got that really well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah. How many Leguistamos?
Well, do we do Leguistamos or do we ask Tom's opinion first?
Oh, what's this? I forgot this layer.
This is based on everything we've talked about here. Tom, would you say Leguizamo please to watching this film or Leguizanono?
I'm worried this is going to be a running theme, but I haven't watched the documentary for 10 years or so, so Leguizanono.
Great. Okay.
That's all right, That's fine, mate. That's okay.
If he was in Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's
all right. We'll get there.
Would you watch Street Fighter?
Yeah, 100%.
Go watch Street Fighter. We'll talk about it next pod.
Yeah, great.
It's great.
Leguistamos. Yeah. I'm going to give it 2.5 Leguistamos. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't a huge Leguizamo-y vibe. Mm. The reason it gets 2.5 is because obviously it's about Raul Julia, and I can see based on this documentary the like supreme levels of influence he had on Latin artists.
I'm going to give
the industry, and because of that, it gets 2.5.
I'm going to give it 3.5 because of everything you said, and also. Two other things. One, it was about a Latin actor who was really big in theater and Broadway in New York, which I think is very Leguizamo-y because, you know, the theater side of Leguizamo is something I discovered by doing this podcast. Mm. And also because that bit where, like, the guy, like, used John Leguizamo as an example. Mm. And I'm always a big fan of... It's similar to The Power when there was that shot of John Leguizamo, like, hey, he's going to be in this series, don't worry. Yes. I like when it's like there's this assumed knowledge. So this guy was like, well, without Raul Julia, we wouldn't have John Leguizamo.
Yeah, that's true.
And I love a moment like that where I'm like, yeah, I love John Leguizamo.
Yeah. So all of those reasons, I just happen to give it 2.5.
Yeah, no, but I give it 3.5 because of that. Mish, but do you know what, Mish?
What?
I give you 5 Leguistamos.
And I give you 4.5. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening in this week. You can go check out this doco on YouTube. It's just there. Oh, very, very quick side note. I also watched the Carol Burnett episode of this doco series.
Oh, fun.
Which was heaps of fun, and we should talk about it maybe off pod.
Yeah, great.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week, and bye-bye now. Oh, wait. Tom, what is he taking us away with?
Oh, yeah. I've got to put a song at the end.
You've got to put a song at the end.
Tom, do you want to sing something now?
Yeah, sure.
But can it be from the musical Nine?
Oh, I haven't seen Nine or heard Nine.
Well, can
you just imagine what it would
be? Yeah, just imagine what it would be.
All right, taking us out now is Tom Armstrong.
That's very funny.
Performing a song from Nine, a musical he has never seen or heard, based on a film. I'm going to just guess you've not seen 8.5.
No, never heard of it.
Panettone was inspired by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. This is changing the direction of my performance.
Right. Performing Nine.
There's one. And there's two. But 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, oh shit, it's all about 9. We love 9, 9, 9, 9, 9 bananas in a basket. 9 double story buildings. The 9.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.